Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
So peaceful and relaxing, and the food was too good. Y'all know what I mean? I mean, sometimes food's just too good. It's at that point, I told Josh when I was coming through the line, I said, man, it's like there's so much that you really have to be strategic as to what you get because you can't fit it all on your plate. He said, it's like Thanksgiving. And like, I knew exactly what he meant when he said it's like Thanksgiving. Because you know, my mom buys those extra wide plates for Thanksgiving. Anybody else got those extra wide plates? But you still can't get enough, you know, because I want sweet potato casserole that's got marshmallows and pecans on top. You know what I mean? I want both of them, and I want mashed potatoes, and I want turkey, and I want gravy, all this stuff. You just can't fit it on. But it was an awesome, awesome time. We had a wonderful time celebrating the birth of the church and fellowshipping with one another. It was an awesome, awesome time. So thank you once again to Pastors Lauren and Bonnie. Can we just give it up for them? Aren't they incredible member care pastors? The way that they serve and love this community of believers is amazing. But we're going to get into the Word of God today, and I want to actually continue from last week, because last week, if you were here, you'll know. If you weren't, I'll inform you very quickly. The Lord spoke to me and declared that this is going to be for the Well Fort Payne. And when I say the Well Fort Payne, I'm not talking about me. Listen, I've talked about this before. I didn't get a building. We got a facility that God has blessed us with. This isn't my church. This is His church, and it's our church. And so God told me to declare that this is going to be a summer of hunger. A summer of desiring God like we have never desired Him before, pursuing Him like we've never pursued Him before, seeing Him move like we have never seen Him before, because I believe that God favors the hungry, that when He sees a group of people that are hungry and thirsty for a move of God, He says, I'll fill those people. And so I'm declaring this is going to be a summer of hunger, not just on Sunday mornings when we come into this place, not just on Wednesday nights when we get to meet in that facility, but in your home, when you're seeking Him on a Tuesday morning before you go to work, I believe He's going to fill you up and you're going to walk into that place so full of the Holy Ghost, so full of joy, so full of peace, so full of righteousness. God's just going to begin to move in your life because God will always reward hungry people. And this is going to be a summer of hunger. So last week we started in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, where Jesus was teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. And He said these words. He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And we also talked about how sometimes our blessing is in our pressing, that we want to get a blessing from God, but sometimes we got to press in. It's that hunger. It's that desire for more. Just like that woman with the issue of blood, that she knew that Jesus had what she needed for the healing that would be found for her life. And so she pressed through the crowd, despite her infirmity, despite her weakness, and as she pressed into Him, she got the blessing of Him healing her and Him delivering her from the 12 years of the pain and the guilt and everything that came with what she had experienced over the last 12 years. And so today, I want to continue talking about that because I don't want to just say one week it's a summer of hunger and then move on, because I've said this before. I said it months ago, and I'll say it again, that I believe a lot of times the church, the body of Christ as a whole, is overfed and undernourished because preachers say something one time, preach something one time, and everybody goes, oh, that's good. But we don't take time to really let that mature in our life, to really meditate on it, to let it take root in our life. And so I don't want to just say it's going to be a summer of hunger and try to get people excited in one week. I want to help foster and train inside of you that growth and that hunger and desire, that we're hungrier this week than we were last week. We're hungry tomorrow than we are today. And so today I want to look at another portion of the Sermon on the Mount in the book of Matthew chapter 7. So if you would grab your Bible, stand to your feet and turn with me to Matthew the 7th chapter. And we're going to read verses 7 through 11. And Jesus is, I believe, talking to us about hungering more for God. And He's really talking about prayer. And I want to mention prayer a lot today because I believe that hungry people are praying people. And I believe that if you don't pray, then you don't really know God. Because the only way to get to know somebody is to talk to them. The only way I got to know my wife is we had conversations. And I'm not talking about texting. I'm talking about talking face to face. And it's prayer is so important in the life of the believer. And I believe that hungry people are praying people. So let's read Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened." I want you to realize that if you don't know or you don't have what you need, it's because you haven't asked. If you don't know what you need to know, it's because you haven't been seeking it. And if the door isn't open, it's because you haven't been knocking. Because Jesus said, everybody that asks, seeks, and knocks, it will be given to them. It will be open to them. He says in verse 9, "Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent?" Listen to this. This makes it a Father's Day sermon. You ready? "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Before we pray, I want to point out when Jesus says, "you then being sinful," if you study that out, you'll realize what he's talking about is the nature of man. He's not talking about the fact that we are habitual sinners or that we haven't been saved, we haven't been forgiven, we haven't been redeemed. Because if you read it under other translations, he says, "If you then, having a sinful nature, still know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is not sinful in nature, who is perfect in every way, who has no flaw, no wrong, doesn't err, doesn't change, how much more will he give good things to those who ask of him?" Matthew Henry said it this way. He said, I've got it in my notes here. I don't want to butcher it. If my notes will open. Because he just said it so much more eloquently than I know I'd say it to you. "Prayer is the appointed means for obtaining what we need." Prayer is the appointed means. That means God appointed to us. If you need something in your life, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, the means by which you attain what you need is as simple as praying and beseeching and entreating your Father in heaven. And when you have that knowledge that he's a good Father, that he loves you, that he wants to give you what you need, you will be more inclined to ask of him for everything. But we are so quick to run here and to run there and to chase this and to chase that, not realizing that prayer is the appointed means by which we as the believer attain what we need. Let's beseech the Father this morning together. Lord, I come before you and I thank you that you are a good Father. And I ask that you would speak to your children today. I pray that you would fill us fresh and new with everything that we need. God, we ask, we seek, and we knock. We ask for more of you. We seek your presence and we knock on the door of heaven and we say, would you open it up, Lord? Would you come and fellowship with us? Teach us, instruct us, guide us, lead us by the power of the Holy Spirit. I submit myself as a messenger of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I pray that you would anoint me with the spirit of wisdom and understanding to preach. As it says at the end of this chapter, Jesus taught not as the scribes taught, but as one who had authority. God, I pray for the authority of the word of God to be released in this place today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Matthew chapter 7 is simply the continuation. Jesus is actually bringing to a close the Sermon on the Mount, which is the longest portion of teaching that Jesus has in the Bible. And in it, he taught us so many valuable things about life and about Christian living and how we should be. But at the tail end of this, he begins to tell us to ask and it will be given. Seek and we will find. Knock and the door will be open. And he is talking, all scholars conclude that he's talking specifically in the regards of prayer. But I want to read to you how it reads in the New Living Translation in verse 7 of chapter 7. It says this, I love this, "Keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. I love how it says that. It doesn't just say ask. It says keep on asking. It doesn't just say seek God one time. No, it says keep on seeking him. It doesn't just say knock one time, but it says keep knocking and the door will be open to you. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Don't just ask once. Don't just knock once. Don't just seek once. Make it a continual pattern in your life to come before the Father in prayer. E.M. Bounds, if you've never read anything by E.M. Bounds, if you want to be convicted, just go get you an E.M. Bounds book, okay? Every now and then you're just like, I just need to be set in line. I need to be set in order. And E.M. Bounds, he convicts me because he talks so much about prayer, and he was such a man of prayer. And he tells a story in one of his books about a gentleman that lived over in England many, many years ago. And he made it a habit in his life that he would wake up a great while before daybreak, and he would get on his knees in his house, and he would spend hours in prayer seeking God, getting to know God, talking to him, asking him for needs that were in his life, bringing his heart before the Lord, just spending time with him. And this man, this is a true story, if ever he woke up late and he heard the sound of hustling, bustling in the street below his home, he would cry out to the Father, "Oh, how this shames me. Does not my master deserve more than theirs? Oh, how this shames me that the people that are going about their life," he wasn't shaming them. He was saying, "I'm ashamed that they are after their master, which is money. They're already seeking the dollar. They're already seeking to serve who they work for, their boss, their employer. And I have not yet beseeched my Father in heaven. I've not yet gotten on my knees and spoken to him this morning. Does not my master deserve more than theirs?" And I want to talk to you about that today and encourage you to stay hungry, to stay passionate for God. I'm not saying you have to wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning. If God tells you to, by all means, go for it. But what I'm encouraging you with today is stay engaged, because God rewards the diligent. In fact, he told us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is," listen to this, "and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That word diligently is actually, if you look it up in the Greek, it's closely related to the word that Jesus used for seek in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus used the word zeteo. This word is the word exeteo, and it means to require. He rewards those who require it to seek him. And I'm not saying you require of God. I'm saying you require of yourself. I require myself to seek God. I require of myself to pray and to talk to God. I require of myself to feed my life with his word. I require of myself that because I say that I love him, I will obey him. I require it of myself that I'm going to keep the fire hot and I'm going to fan it into flame, and I'm going to seek God and I'm going to love him and I'm going to be passionate about him and I'm going to be in his house and I'm going to love people and I'm going to do what he calls me to do and I'm going to be who he calls me to be. So I want to encourage you today, if you haven't already done this, make the presence of God a requirement for your life. Just like that man in England years ago, when he made it a requirement to seek his master first thing in the morning. Does not my master deserve more than theirs? Make it a requirement. I am requiring myself, not in legalism. Listen, I don't spend time with my wife because I have to. I spend time with my wife because I want to. I don't have to take her out on a date when it's our anniversary. I don't have to live my life with her. I don't have to give her this or have to give her that. I do it out of love for her. So I'm not talking about I have to seek God and I have to do this. No, I'm saying I make it a requirement to show her love at all times because I made a commitment at the altar before God, before man, and because I love that woman, I require myself to be faithful to her, to spend time with her, to talk to her, and it should be the exact same way in our relationship with God. I'm making it a requirement that I be in his presence, because listen, I don't want to do life without his presence. I've tried it. I've lived with God, I've lived without God, and I have come to know that life with God is superior to life without God. And somebody asked this pastor one time, they said, "Pastor, can you go to heaven without the Holy Spirit?" He looked at him. He said, "Bro, I don't want to go to Walmart without the Holy Spirit. What are you talking about going to heaven without the Holy Spirit? I don't want to go to work without the presence of God. I don't want to go to the grocery store without walking in the Spirit, because the book of Galatians says if we have been made free by the Spirit, then let us walk in the Spirit. And if we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of our flesh. I don't want to do anything without him." Like Moses said when he was on that mountain and God told him, he said, "You can go in the promised land. You can have it. I'll drive everybody out before you. I'll give you big old grapes to eat. You'll plant vineyards. You'll plant grain. Everything will be flowing with milk and honey." And Moses said, "None of it matters, God, if you don't go with us." He said, "If your presence doesn't go up from here with us, then we're not going." What was Moses doing? He'd made a requirement in his life that the presence and the glory of God, because what he'd seen on that mountain was so much better than anything God would bless him with down in the valley that was the promised land. He said, "I'd rather have the promise maker than have the promise itself, because the promise is nothing without the promise maker, and I need to have you in my life. And I'm telling you, if you'll stay hungry, you'll stay thirsty, you'll stay obedient, you'll stay humble before the Lord, he will fill your life. I don't want to go on the golf course without his presence. I don't want to go on vacation from God or without God. He must be priority." You've probably heard me say this before. I'll say it probably 1,000 more times. If you keep coming to church here, you'll hear me say this again. He, speaking of God, is either Lord of all or not at all. There is no in between. There is no he's God on Sunday, but I'm God on Monday afternoon. There is no he's God when things are good, but he's not when things are bad. There's no he's God when things are bad, but when everything is going good, I don't need him anymore. He is either Lord of every single part of your life. We cannot compartmentalize our life and say he's God of church, but he's not God at work. He's God at home, but he's not God when I go out. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. He will not share the throne with you, with anyone, with anything. But he's a rewarder. That word rewarder means remunerator. He's a remunerator of those who diligently seek him. So here's what I tell you. Seek him diligently. Because if you do, he'll reward you. You know what he rewards you with? Everything that you need. I could go down the list, but he rewards you because when you get him, you get everything that you need. So keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. You know, some people say that to pray for the same thing more than once is lack of faith. I've literally heard that taught before. They say you shouldn't pray for something more than once, because if you pray for something more than once, then that means that you didn't have faith to believe for it the first time that you prayed for it. And I believe that that's totally ridiculous. Here's why I believe that. Because if you go to the book of Luke, the 18th chapter, you'll find that Jesus told a parable. And in this parable, he says that in this certain city, there was a certain judge, and he was not a just judge. He wasn't a righteous man. In fact, he was quite cruel, and he was very wicked. But there was a widow in the city, and she would come to the judge, and she said, "I need you to grant me, I have an adversary, and I need you to get me justice against my adversary. There's somebody that's coming against me, and I need you to get it for me." And the Bible says that he didn't regard God, he didn't regard man. That's what Jesus said in his parable. But he said, "Lest she weary me with her continual coming, I will grant her her desire." And so he granted her her desire. And he said, "Even though I don't fear God, even though I don't fear man, I'm still going to give this woman what she wants, because she's come to me again and again and again and again, over and over again, to the point where I'm wearied." Do you know that Jesus said, "How much more so will the Father in heaven do for you if this unjust man wouldn't even do it for her?" But do you know how I know that this is in regards to prayer, that we can pray for the same thing over and over and over again? The old saints called it praying through. Don't just pray into something, pray through something, right? Now, the reason that I know that this is in regards to prayer is because the first verse of Luke chapter 18, right before Jesus begins this parable, it says this. It says that Jesus told this parable for this purpose, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. That's why he told the parable. And then he references this woman that came to this judge over and over and over. And he said the judge wouldn't listen to it, but after a little while, he granted her because of her continual coming. And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him? Listen, it's okay to pray for something over and over again. It's okay to petition God and to request of him over and over again. When it said in verse 1 that men ought always to pray and not lose heart, that word lose heart means this. This is so powerful. To be negatively influenced with the outcome of experiencing inner weariness. To be negatively influenced with the outcome of experiencing inner weariness. And sometimes we lose heart in our prayers because we pray for something and it doesn't happen. We pray for something and God doesn't give us the answer that we want when we want it. You know, I just think of Martha and Mary when their brother Lazarus died and they sent word to Jesus. And 3 days later, Jesus still hadn't showed up. Lazarus is wrapped up in grave clothes in the tomb, starting to stink. And Jesus just now decides, I figure now about's a good time to show up. Sometimes we're asking for something and we don't understand why he hasn't showed up yet. But we just keep asking. We just keep beseeching. We just keep trusting. We just keep praying. We just keep seeking. We just keep knocking. Because when the right time is right, God will show up and he will move. Because he said to them, he said, don't worry. This sickness isn't up unto death, but that God may be glorified. So even when you don't see the outcome you envisioned, keep asking. Even when it feels like you aren't where you hope that you would be by now, keep seeking. Don't become weary in well-doing. Because the Bible says in the book of Galatians, it says, do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not faint. Some translations say, if we do not lose heart. Do you remember what it said in Luke chapter 18, verse 1? He said that men ought always to pray that they wouldn't lose heart. Do you realize that bringing something before God is what will fuel the faith inside of you to keep believing that he can and that he will? Here's what David said in Psalm chapter 27, verse 13. He said, I would have lost heart. I would have. Because David was human just like you and just like me. And there are things in our life that if we don't continually keep our eyes fixed upon him, seeking him, asking of him, knocking on the door, we will lose heart. He said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Listen, David didn't say, I would have lost heart unless I'd seen it. He said, I would have lost heart unless I'd believed that I was going to see it. Sometimes the promise isn't even visible there for you to see, but you just stay in faith. Be like Abraham, as it says in the book of Romans, it says that he didn't waver concerning the promise, even though he was already as good as dead, but he believed that whatever God promised, he was also able to perform. And so even when you can't see it, your faith and your belief will keep you seeking, keep you asking, keep you knocking, keep you praying, keep you beseeching the Father. And I want to say to you today that if all you have to hold on to is hope, then you have enough. If all you have left in the tank is prayer, then you have enough. If all you can do is just say, I have faith and I believe I'm gonna see his goodness, then you have everything that you need. I'll be completely transparent and honest with you. This is not what I thought our 2-year anniversary would look like. I didn't think that we still wouldn't be in a facility that was our permanent home. I thought there'd be a lot more people here. I'm talking when we started this thing 2 years ago. This is just not what I envisioned 2 years later. But you know what? I'm not discouraged. I'm not upset. I'm not fainting. I'm not weary. I'm not giving up. Because like David, I would have fainted. I would have lost heart. Everything that we've walked through, everything that we've been through, 2 years with no building, 2 years of planting and plowing and just going after, I would have lost heart unless I believed that I'd see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I believe, church, that we are going to see his goodness released in this community. So don't let the devil trick you into thinking that hope and faith and prayer aren't enough. Because that's what he'll do. He'll trick you into thinking that, well, all you got's prayer, all you got's faith, all you got's hope. Listen, faith, hope, and love, all those three things, they remain. That means they abide, they continue. They're not going to go away. They're not going to fail you. Love never fails. And if we have a love for God and we seek God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, he will reward those who diligently seek him. Because Jesus said, when you ask, you will receive. Not you might receive, you will receive. He said, when you seek, you will find. When you knock, the door will be open. These are not generic statements that Jesus made. Listen, Jesus didn't say anything in passing that he didn't mean. I think we're accustomed to people giving lip service and just saying things that sound good or trying to make people feel good. Everything that Jesus said, he only said what he heard the Father saying, and he only did what he saw the Father doing. He was intentional with 1,000% of his words. And he said, if you seek, you will find. If you ask, it will be given to you. And if you knock, the door will be open. So it's not outdated rhetoric. It's not generic statements. You have to realize that these statements, ask, seek, and knock, are promises from a faithful Father. That he gave us this opportunity. I love the song, the old hymn that says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we don't carry everything to God in prayer. Because remember, prayer is the means by which we have been given access to everything that we need. It's what God has given to us. He said, if you need something, you ask me. And I'll give it to you. I haven't stopped believing that he can save every soul in Fort Payne, Alabama. Yeah. I haven't stopped believing that he can still save marriages. He can still deliver every drug addict. He can still do miracles that, like we sing, our minds can't even comprehend. He can heal every disease and forgive every sinner. And you know what? I'm not going to stop asking for it. I'm not going to stop seeking for it. I'm not going to stop knocking on the door of revival because I truly believe that greater things are still to come. I would have fainted. I would have lost heart, but I'm not growing weary in well-doing because if we will just stay hungry and stay faithful, we will reap if we don't lose heart. If we don't get this into this mindset where we are influenced by the negative outcome of inner weariness. I want to point out one of my favorite qualities, though, of our Heavenly Father. On this Father's Day, I want to honor God the Father and talk about the qualities of him, one of the things that I love about him most. But I also want to just take a moment and honor my Father on Father's Day. I'm so thankful for him and for his trust and his leadership in the well and everything he's poured into me. And I'm so thankful for him. But I want to honor one of my favorite qualities about God the Father because it says, everyone who asks and seeks and knocks receives, finds, and has the door open. You know what that means? That means there's no favorites in the family. I don't know what your family dynamic was like growing up, but every family's got favorites. Yeah. Mom and dad won't tell you. Some of them will. Some will just straight up say, yeah, that's my favorite kid right there. Why? Because they're the least trouble. Out of all of them, or they're the most like me, or they're the most like their mom. Everybody's got favorites. I try to not have favorites. I don't think I have favorites, but one thing that's true of God is God has no favorites. In fact, the book of Romans tells us that with God, there is no partiality. That's why he welcomed us into the family, even though you and most of us were born Gentiles. But he still welcomed us in. He didn't show, even though the Jews were his chosen people, he still welcomed us in. And so there's no favorites in the family of God. So if you ask, you have the same chance of being answered as Billy Graham did, as Paul did, In fact, the Bible gives us an example of this in the book of James. James wrote in the 5th chapter of his letter, and he said, Elijah was a man with a nature just like yours and just like mine. What kind of nature did Jesus say that we have? It's a sinful nature. And Elijah was a man just like you and me with a sinful nature, but he prayed earnestly. That word earnestly is important. Because remember what Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says in the New Living Translation? Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. It says, Elijah prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it didn't rain in the land for 3 years and 6 months. And when he prayed again, the heaven gave rain and the earth produced fruit. I'm convinced that God doesn't have favorites, but he does show favor to the hungry. Here's what I mean by that. He's not going to give you something he wouldn't give somebody else. But if you ask and they don't ask, you'll be the one that gets it. Because he favors those that are hungry. The blessing is in the pressing. And he doesn't give more to one than he gives to the other. But he does reward that comes after him, asking and seeking and knocking. And he said, I'm not playing favorites. I don't care if you've been saved for 50 years or you've been saved for 5 minutes. If you ask, you'll receive. If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, the door will be open. And if there is something that is lacking or there's a need in your life, it does not rest. The problem is not in God. The problem is that somewhere we didn't ask, somewhere we didn't seek, and somewhere we didn't knock. And I want to begin to close today by reminding you of this powerful truth on Father's Day 2022. You have a Father in heaven that created you, that loves you, provides for you, protects you, has a plan for you, and he wants nothing but the best for your life. We have to keep, if we don't live with that mindset, realizing that whatever God says for my life is the best option for my life. No matter what your earthly father looked like or didn't look like, whether they were a good example, a bad example, loving, unloving, kind, not kind, no matter what they were, he is yet greater. And there is nothing that you need that he can't or he won't provide. That's why Jesus, he gave us this distinction between earthly fathers and our heavenly father. He said, how many of you being of earthly nature, being of a sinful nature, he said, even you know that when your son or your daughter asks for bread, you don't give them a stone. When they ask for fish, you don't give them something that's going to bring harm upon them. You're not going to give a snake to them. He said, but then how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who simply ask him? You know, the Bible says in the book of James, you have not because you ask not. He says, you ask and you ask amiss that you may spend it on your sinful nature, on your sinful pleasures. But I want to remind you today also that in the book of James chapter 1, that every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights in whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. He hasn't changed since the day the world began. He's been good since then, and he'll continue to be good. He is a Father that we can look to and that we can call upon, and he knows how to give good gifts. Listen, there is nothing harder than Father's Day shopping. Come on, you guys know. My brother called me at 9 o'clock last night. Hey, what you getting Dad for Father's Day? I don't know. I really don't. Not a tie, I can tell you that. The best thing we could come up with is we're going to take him out and play golf. Okay? Win-win, right? Win for him, win for us. But there's nothing harder than shopping for Father's Day. But realize this. Your Father in heaven has no problem giving you exactly what you need. He'll provide for you. He'll protect you. He'll take care of you. But here's the kicker. You know who God gives good gifts to? Hungry people. He said, listen, let's read this verse again in verse 11. If you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask, to people that are hungry enough to say, Father, I need more of you in my life. I need your presence. I need you to provide for me. I need you to take care of me. What do you need that you haven't yet asked him for? What's missing in your life simply because you haven't sought him for it? What door is shut in your life simply because you haven't knocked on it, allowed him to open it up? You realize there's some things that are closed off from your life simply because you haven't knocked yet on the right door of your Father in heaven that said, hey, I need some help. I'll tell you one thing. I will never excuse, ignore a call from my children that says, Dad, I need help. And I have a sinful nature. How much more our Father who is in heaven will come. But it goes back to that old song. How much needless pain we bear. You realize there's some things you've been shouldering and you've been carrying and you've been trying to make it through life, carrying it all on your own, that if you just asked, he'd help you. If you just asked, he'd take care of it for you. If you just brought it before him, because the book of Hebrews says that we now have access to the throne of grace to find help in our time of trouble, in our time of need. There's some things that you've been wrestling with and fighting with that if you would just say, God, I need some help in this area, he's more than happy and willing to come over and to give you a hand. He can make it happen. He'll make a way. But you know what? It only happens for those who ask. So I encourage you today, stay hungry. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Don't quit. Don't lose heart. If you haven't seen the promise yet, keep talking to him. If you haven't felt the shift happen, if you haven't experienced the breakthrough yet, don't give up. Don't quit. Realize, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Stand to your feet with me this morning. If you have need of prayer today, we'll have someone down here in the altar at the end of service that'll be prepared to pray with you and for you, no matter what you're facing. But if you would just bow your head and close your eyes with me this morning. Father, I ask today that you would help each and every one of us to live with the reality, the truth, and the revelation in our mind that you are a good Father and that anything that we need in our life, whether it's spiritual, physical, emotional, or mental, if we just ask, if we just seek, if we'll just knock, you'll give it to us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would unlock that faith, that we would be like David, that we could say, you know what? I would have fainted unless I'd believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And, Lord, we're asking that we would get to see your goodness. God, just as your goodness passed before Moses on that mountain and you hid him in the cleft of the rock, God, we have a desire to see more of you than we've ever seen of you before. God, we're hungry and we're thirsty for your presence. Come on, just begin to cry out for the presence of God. Maybe you want to come and find a place in the altar. Maybe you just want to lift your hands or get on your knees right where you are. But let's just hunger and thirst. Let's just show him today how much we want him, how much we need him. Let's just begin to cry out to him. And God, I just say that I need you more than I needed you yesterday. God, I say that I want you more than I've ever wanted you before, and I thank you that you gave us a promise that if we will just ask, you will give us what we need. And God, what we're asking and what we need is more of you, God. We're not seeking riches. We're not seeking fame, God. We are seeking the presence and the power and relationship with you, and I thank you that you will not turn a deaf ear to the cry of the hungry, those that are thirsting and wanting more of you. So God, we just say we want more of you, God. I just have this old song on my heart. It says, I need you more, more than yesterday. I need you more, more than words could say. I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, more than the air. More than the air I breathe, more than the song I sing, more than the next heartbeat, more than anything. And Lord, as time goes by, I'll be by your side, 'cause I never wanna go back to my old life. I need you more, more than yesterday. I need you more, more than words could say. I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. And oh, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. In every hour, I need thee. Pass me not, my Savior. I come to thee. Father, I thank you that just like when the blind man called out and he said, Son of David, have mercy on me. Don't pass me by. Lord, I thank you that when we call out to you from a hungry heart, when we call out to you with a desire to know you more, you never resist us. You never ignore us. You never push us to the side. There's never something more important than a cry from your children. And so we just say, God, we need you more, more than we've ever needed you before. We make it a declaration in our life, and I'm praying for your people, Lord. I'm praying that there would be like a snowball effect of hunger in our life, God, that tomorrow morning we'd be hungrier for you than we went to sleep tonight, that tomorrow at lunch we'd be hungrier for you than we are to eat lunch, God, that we'd be hungrier for you than anything else in this life, God, because you matter more than everything. God, everything else combined, none of it matters. We sing stuff like nothing satisfies, nothing else matters, but God, we mean it. It's not just a proverb. It's not just a psalm. It's not just a hymn. It's not just a poem, God. It's not just something that sounds good. It's the cry of our heart. Nothing else matters but you. And we say that we want more of you. And I thank you that you reward the diligent seeker. So I'm praying that we'd be diligent seekers of you, that we wouldn't lose heart, we wouldn't faint, we wouldn't quit, but that out of love for you and through the love that you have for us, we would seek you, and I know that if we seek you, we'll find you. And I've praised you for your promises today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace, and may you live with the revelation knowing that you have a heavenly Father that knows how to give good gifts to those who ask. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to seek you diligently, and I know that if we will, we'll find you. God bless you. God bless you. Have a great day. We love you. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Happy anniversary, and we love you.